This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM, by mobile app, and on the web at kexp.org. My guest this morning is Lisa Remlinger, Evergreen Forest Agenda Director for the Washington Environmental Council, a nonprofit statewide advocacy organization whose mission is to protect, restore, and sustain Washington's environment. Lisa Remlinger is here today to tell us about forest protection in Washington State and to discuss the 2016 State of Our Forest Report Card. Welcome, Lisa.
Thanks very much for having me.
Why is it important to protect our forests in Washington State?
It's funny, every time you talk to someone and ask what they value about living in Washington, why they live here, why they've moved here, trees frequently come up. And the greenness of our evergreen state is always, you know, I'd say like top three, top five things that gets mentioned right in there. So I think Washingtonians really value our forests, and they're part of what makes Washington the evergreen state. Our state is about half covered in forests when you look at the total acres of private, state, and federal land. And so it's a big portion geographically of our state as well.
Roughly what portion falls into state versus federal versus private?
So the smallest is state-managed lands. The State Department of Natural Resources has about 2 million acres that they manage. Private industry, and that includes large industrial landowners and then smaller forest landowners, own about 8 million, and then the rest is federal. So it kind of goes smallest is state, and then private, and then the rest is in federal land. And federal land could be the national park systems, national forests. So that's a pretty big chunk.
How healthy are Washington State forests?
You know, I would say that kind of depends on a lot of things, which we can go into and talk a bit more about. You know, I think one of the jobs of WEC, of Washington Environmental Council, is trying to make them as healthy as possible. And a lot of what we've been working towards over the last few years is trying to work with the state and private landowners to change industrial management practices to more sustainable management practices, and then benefit from all the things that come with that. You know, healthy air, healthy water, habitat for wildlife, carbon sequestration, all of those great things.
What are some of the main threats to Washington State forests?
Climate change is definitely a threat. It was really interesting. About a year ago, WEC hosted a telephone town hall where we contacted about 50,000 voters across the state and talked to them. We had guest speakers on. We had a U.S. Forest Service employee. We had a firefighter, a wildfire firefighter, and then a few policy experts to talk about the ramifications and how climate change is impacting our forests and what that means to air quality and water quality. It's really interesting. And we've also recently done some studies that have started to show the impacts of how we manage our forests on water quality and quantity that are really interesting as well. So I think, you know, the threat of climate change, what we're doing to our landscape, it has large ramifications.
How well have our state forests in Washington been maintained overall?
I think from WEC's perspective, in certain areas, we definitely have room for improvement. And that includes working with private landowners and with the state. With our 2016 State of the Forest, we focused more on some issues concerning the Department of Natural Resources, the Commissioner of Public Lands. But there are also things that we'd like to see working with private landowners as well.
What are the goals of the Washington Environmental Council's forest agenda?
You know, Washington Environmental Council, we've been doing this work for almost 50 years now. Forests weren't the first issue that WEC dealt with. I think it was rivers, but they were definitely one of the first. And there's a lot of background and history with this issue, with forests and industry and working with landowners. But I think WEC really sees the potential in moving forward and trying to work with the state and landowners in a positive sense, meaning right now, and I think last year you had on your show two individuals who talked about our work in the Nisqually, working with the Nisqually Land Trust on a carbon project and looking at community forest models. So WEC will always work in the space of safeguarding our forests, making sure that there's proper protections in place. But then we also have this whole other campaign that looks at voluntary incentive-based approaches with private landowners, land trusts, tribes, other stakeholders. And that's some really exciting work that we're doing there.
What are the key elements of sustainable forest management?
One of the things that we like to talk with people about is just rotation length. It's kind of something that, you know, almost everyone can really get their mind around and understand. And at WEC, we really feel that bigger trees left to grow in the ground longer provide the most benefit. They provide the most benefit for water quality, for water quantity, for carbon sequestration. And that's one of the things that we're really trying to push. And again, that kind of sustainable management of growing these trees longer and letting them grow larger versus, which could mean, let's say, a 100-year or an 80-year rotation instead of what's a more traditional length, which would be around 40 years.
How do you go about working with landowners to encourage more sustainable practices?
Right. So that's a great question. It's really hard. If you are a small family forester, you probably have one, maybe two harvests, cuts of your property your entire life. And that's kind of crazy, right, when you think about it. I mean, these private landowners love their trees and want to do the right thing. And so we have been trying to think through ways to say, okay, if we're going to ask you to grow your trees longer, how can we compensate you for doing that? So, for instance, I'll use the Nisqually Carbon Project as an example. We had a landowner, in this case it was a land trust, but a landowner who purchased those acres, went through the effort to go through the verification process to get those verified for carbon credits. And then our great local business, Microsoft, came in and purchased those carbon credits, therefore providing money back to the land trust. So something similar could be in place for other landowners. If we were able to access a pot of money to provide these incentives to them financially, it could kind of fill that gap of what we're asking them to do, right? To go from cutting every 40 years to 80 years. Maybe they put a working forest conservation on their land, and that would do the same thing. So they're still being able to harvest, and they're still being able to cut trees off of their property and manage their land. But with a working forest conservation easement, there would also be some sustainable management practices in place. And then we could look at filling the gap financially for them for doing that.
I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Lisa Rimlinger, Evergreen Forest Agenda Director for the Washington Environmental Council. Our topic is forest protection in Washington State and the 2016 State of Our Forests Report Card. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on listener-powered KEXP, 90.3 FM by mobile app, and on the web at kexp.org. You've alluded to this already, but would you just underscore the key programs of the Washington Environmental Council Forest Agenda?
Yes, we have, I would say, kind of three bodies of work that we focus on. One is a campaign called Growing Our Future, and that has to do with changing from industrial to sustainable management of our forests. We also do a lot of work with the Department of Natural Resources on the 2 million acres of state lands. So right now, for instance, the state's doing a long-term conservation strategy for the marbled murrelet, and they're gearing up for their sustainable harvest calculation. And so that's another body of work. And then we also, of course, work with our legislators in Olympia during the state legislative session. So there's the kind of policy and Olympia piece of what we do. So I would say those are the three main programs, kind of the Growing Our Future, the state lands work, and then our forests in Olympia.
What have been some of the recent legislative issues in Olympia?
One of the things I can talk about, it actually happened last session, but I thought it was a really interesting example, a really good success story, and we actually highlighted it in the report card this year. And it had to do with funding around what's called our adaptive management program. And years ago, the state decided to put in place a process where stakeholder groups came together. So that's going to be the environmental community, the timber industry, local governments, tribal leaders, and state agencies. And we all come together, and the goal is to work through any policy and science base. So science should influence the policy, and those policy changes are then recommended to the governing body that's called the Forest Practices Board. And it was a program that was put in place, and then the funding became in jeopardy, which is, I guess, kind of common these days in the legislature. And we had an opportunity to bring kind of this broad base of support together. So the environmental community, timber industry, the Department of Natural Resources, Department of Ecology, tribal leaders, we all got together and advocated for, I think it was about $5.9 million in the state's budget, which, you know, these days is a pretty substantial amount of new funding for anything. But we were going to run out of money to start doing some of the science studies that are so important with this work. And so we all came together and it was successful. We got the money in the legislature and was a really, I think, positive example of when a large group gets behind something, it really does make a difference. So often we're kind of all over the place or not coordinated or even at odds and opposing each other. But this was a nice opportunity for us to all come together and support this common request.
Let's talk now about the 2016 State of Our Forests report card. What is the purpose of the report card?
The purpose of the report card, you know, the Commissioner of Public Lands is the only elected statewide office that works almost exclusively with our natural resources, which makes it a really important position for Washingtonians come election day. This person has the opportunity to sustainably manage, regulate, and protect 2.1 million acres of state forests, 8 million acres of private forests, 2.6 million acres of aquatic lands, and 1.1 million acres of agricultural lands. So as you can see, that adds up to quite a portfolio of acreage. And so we wanted, as a 501c3 that works on policy issues, we wanted to take a look and highlight some of the work that had been done over the past year. And so we took a look at the commissioner's agenda for what he had set up for himself. So for instance, manage the state resources sustainably, make decisions in the public interest and with the public's knowledge and make decisions based on sound science. We kind of took those things and for the issues that Washington Environmental Council works on, put a grade or kind of how we felt those were coming along.
So would you just highlight again what you evaluated in the report card?
Sure. So we took a look, let's see, I think there were about six, maybe seven issues, and they had to do with, it's called FSC. It's a certification from the Forest Stewardship Council. And we were looking for more state lands to be certified FSC.
What is required for the FSC certification?
Actually, there's a lot. It has to do with what pesticides you're using, when you grow the trees or are not using, how long you're letting the trees go, what you're cut size looks like, what you're doing to protect wildlife habitat, if you have spotted owls nesting in the property, what sort of regulations are you following next to stream buffers. They have a whole list of things. And what's really interesting for the department is we were curious if, because of the habitat conservation plans that are already in place for the state, if those would basically mean that they were already pretty close to FSC certification because they were doing all these other things for what's called their habitat conservation plan. And so part of what the department did do this last year was what's called a gap analysis. So they took a look at where their management practices were today and what was required of those versus where the gap was of where they'd need to get to FSC. So we're hoping that this is definitely one of the areas over the next year that we could see some progress on, that the state would be interested in certifying more state lands. And hopefully next year, this grade would move up to a green, to a pass.
What seems to be preventing more Forest Stewardship Council certification on state land?
I think it's always the chicken before the egg, right? So you need supply, but you also need a market. And if you don't have a market, you don't have supply, you know, so it's figuring out, I think, that fine balance of the market based end, what mills are going to take it, what the end product and kind of that whole life cycle of FSC, and then where that supply can come from. And so if we can figure that out, I think we have some real possibilities there. And I know the department this past year also contracted with a group, I think they're based in Portland, called Sustainable Northwest, to take a look at that exact thing, to try and take a look at the market end of things. So if DNR could provide the supply, could we have some market ready on the other side?
You are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM by mobile app, and on the web at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Lisa Rimlinger, Evergreen Forest Agenda Director for the Washington Environmental Council. Our topic is forest protection in Washington State and the 2016 State of Our Forests Report Card. So you spoke about your evaluation of whether the state was managing the state's resources sustainably. What else did you look at and what did you find?
I think another issue that would be interesting to highlight is the marbled murrelets. And they are a really small, shy seabird. They kind of look like a brown little potato, but they are fascinating because they nest in old growth forests and feed in saltwater, which we along the Pacific coast have kind of one of the only areas that this habitat has potential, right? We have these big fat trees off the coast, but yet the saltwater is right there in the ocean. And so because these birds are kind of picky about where they live and what they eat, unfortunately, their numbers have decreased over the years. And they are listed as a threatened and endangered species. And so the state, boy, for the last, it's been a while. It's been at least, I want to say, about 8 to 10 years, has been working towards a long-term conservation strategy for the marbled murrelet. And we're really excited because they did actually make some progress this year in this area. So we still don't have a long-term conservation strategy. And ultimately, we want the department to pass the best conservation plan possible. We want to give these birds the best shot we can to have their species survive. And so what the department did, the decision ultimately rests with a group that's called the Board of Natural Resources, the BNR. And that board is made up of the Commissioner of Public Lands, a county representative, UW, WSU, a representative from the governor's office, and the Office of Superintendent of Public Instruction with OSPI. And they come together and they, over probably sometime in 2017, will ultimately pass the long-term conservation strategy for the murrelet. And so right now what they're doing is the department finally, which was great, released a number of different alternatives that the board could consider. And those, they're kind of a range, right? So on one end, they look at pretty much don't change anything, just do what we're doing now. Keep cutting, you know, status quo, all the way to what would happen if we set aside, you know, this much property for the murrelets or this much property. So it's kind of A through F or A through E. And the Board of Natural Resources will eventually select what they want to see as the proposed alternative, and then that will go out to the public. And so because WEC is an advocacy policy-based organization, our responsibility will be to talk to members, to talk to Washingtonians and tell them how to speak up and have a voice for this important plan. So we wanted to highlight it this year in the report card because there was progress made by the department, and we'd like to see even more in the coming years.
You took a look at to what extent decisions about forest management were being made based on sound science, and the murrelet falls under that category. But what else did you look at in regard to that issue?
Yeah, the other one that is pretty interesting is Eastern Washington old forests. So a lot of people, when you think of Washington State, you think of our big green canopies, you know, on the Olympic Peninsula or in the Cascades. And Eastern Washington, it looks a little different, but there are definitely forests and trees over there, just different trees. And in 2008, a group of scientists developed a set of management guidelines for the restoration and maintenance of older forest conditions over in these areas in Eastern Washington. And one of the things that we felt like that report showed was when the department goes in to cut and harvest on these lands, that they leave a certain amount of trees behind. And the thought was that those trees would eventually become the old forests for future generations. And we right now are asking the department to leave at least 8 to 12 trees behind in these areas per acre. And that is, again, to kind of achieve this meaningful old forest functionality and sustainable conditions to make sure that, you know, kind of all gets back to that sustainable management. if we're cutting, that's fine, right? We need wood products. We're looking at probably a wood table and we all use paper towels. I mean, wood products are in our everyday lives, and Washington Environmental Council is definitely not anti-logging, but making sure that we do it in the most sustainable way. So for this issue in particular, we'd love to see the department leave some additional trees when they're cutting over in eastern Washington. So the legislature took a look at what percentage of lands were left in this kind of old forest space in eastern Washington. And it determined that only 5% of these lands were moderately or highly likely to have older forest conditions. So 5% is an area we feel like there could be some room for improvement there. And that's why we'd like to see them leave a few more trees, those 8 to 12 trees per acre.
You also looked at how well decisions involving forests have been made in the public interest and with the public's knowledge. What are your evaluations in that category?
We have a couple things. So one of the issues that we talked about was steep and unstable slopes. And this can be really one of the more, I guess, contentious issues that we put in our report card. When you look at the report card, it's by far the heaviest on text, the meatiest, if you will. And over the last year, the department had committed to revise its board manual for logging on steep and unstable slopes. And, you know, it's important that forest practices do not further destabilize those slopes. And that could impact, you know, public resources and threaten public safety. And the new board manual is an improvement over the last version. So that's why we praised the department for doing that. But we feel like more progress in this area is still needed. And this is something that is still ongoing, that is happening right now. So we felt like there were some key public protections that DNR should have included in the board manual. And again, several of these are kind of moving through the process right now. And this last legislative session, we had actually looked at introducing a bill that would have removed public safety, anything that had to do with public safety. We felt like the process that was set up to deal with exactly this issue, and I referred to it earlier, it's the Adaptive Management Program. That program was set up to deal with salmon and amphibians and different issues, not public safety. And oftentimes, very small changes can take a really long time to go through that process. And that's important, right? You want to make sure that any changes that you make are based in science and good policy decisions. And that sometimes takes time. But we felt like something such as public safety needed to be elevated. And so we tried to give the Forest Practices Board more authority with how it dealt with these public safety issues. That bill, unfortunately, did not pass this last legislative session, but we felt like it at least started the conversation with the department and the timber industry over this conversation and where really is the best fit for things such as public safety.
What is your overall conclusion from the 2016 State of Our Forests report card?
We feel like some progress was made on identified priorities, and we tried to reflect that in the report card. However, on many of the key issues, we felt like it had not yet resulted in meaningful on-the-ground progress. And we hope that the department, you know, again, the Commissioner of Public Lands, whoever's in this position, it's an important one for our community. It's one that very few voters know that they get a vote on every 4 years. You know, if you ask the common person on the street, did you know that you get a vote for the Commissioner of Public Lands? They would probably be like, what? Have no idea. And it's really important. So we want to make sure that we are getting information out to people. We want to make sure that we are praising the department and the commissioner when they are doing a good job and holding them accountable for when progress still needs to be made. And I think right now we do see some progress, but we feel like more could be done.
So in regard to forests, what would you ask the next commissioner to do?
Well, we kind of just ticked them off the list. We would love to see more land certified FSC. Let's do the whole 2 million acres. You know, let's go out there and do kind of some meaningful, large scale certification. We would love for there to be an aquatic lands habitat conservation plan. It was something that the department had looked at doing, had made some progress on, and for a number of reasons was not able to accomplish. Maybe that's something the new commissioner could consider. We you know, would love to see a conservation-based long-term conservation plan for the marbled murrelets. We'd love to see a sustainable harvest calculation that we feel accurately reflects the number of trees that the state should be cutting every year. So that's just to name a few.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
I guess the biggest thing or the most important thing from Washington Environmental Council's perspective is if you're a listener, just to stay engaged. Oftentimes, learning about these issues or speaking up on these issues can be, you know, such a daunting thing that you feel like you don't have time for. But in all reality, even a few comments on one of these issues goes a long way because so few people do it. And so just to, you know, make sure you keep up to speed, make sure you're realizing, you know, who all the candidates are when you're taking the time to vote. Make sure you vote. Make sure that you're learning about the issues, speaking up on the issues, and staying plugged in as much as you can in today's busy, busy world.
Well, thanks so much for being here, Lisa.
Thank you so much.
You are just listening to Lisa Rimlinger, Evergreen Forests Agenda Director for the Washington Environmental Council. For more information, check on the web at wecprotects.org. The sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters program you have just heard will be on the streaming archive section of KEXP's website at kexp.org for the next 14 days. In addition, sustainability segment interviews are available as podcasts, along with KEXP's music podcasts. Go to kexp.org, click on demand, and then podcasting. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the sustainability segment again next week on Listener Powered 90.3 FM by mobile app and at kexp.org.